take you out of this place. Someone you could lend a hand in return for grace. It's a beautiful. Good morning and welcome to the Health Matters Radio Show with me, Neil De Silva. I hope you're all keeping well and you've had a great weekend. We're on show 73. It's the 23rd of September 2019 and we have a great show ahead of you this morning. On today's show, we are going to be chatting about spotting the signs of depression in friends, in family. It's geared towards men, but obviously there'll be some relevance there for women as well. And we'll explain a bit more about that in a couple of minutes. We're also, towards the end of the show, we are going to be talking about gastroenteritis, what it is, how it affects you and what you can do to reduce the risk. And in the middle, in around 20 minutes, we're going to be talking to our guest interview of the morning. And today we have Dawn Quest, and Dawn is a rapid transformation therapist and coach. And it's great to have you on the show this morning, Dawn.
Good morning.
And I'm looking forward to finding out more about RTT, what it is and how it can help people. And as I mentioned, we'll be talking to Dawn in about 20 minutes or so. So a quick disclaimer before we kick the show off properly this morning. The purpose of the show is to provide you with competent information on the subject matters covered and to help educate and inform you in ways that you could improve your own health. However, this is on the understanding that I'm not engaged in providing medical advice and the content of the show should not be treated as a substitute for such. If you have any concerns about your general health or you require medical or other expert assistance, please speak to a suitably qualified healthcare professional, which in many cases can be obtained by dialing 111 or speaking with your local pharmacist. All the content is provided for general information only, and I do encourage you to do your own research. And the show is based on my knowledge, my research, my experience and my opinion. And I disclaim any liability that is incurred from the use of or application of the content of the show. Okay, so depression, mental health, it's a big thing at the moment. Many of you that know me will know that I'm a Samaritan's volunteer. So I have a lot of experience in talking with people with mental health issues, particularly anxiety and also depression as well. And when it comes to depression in men, as I mentioned, this piece is geared towards men, but there'll be signs here that obviously you'll be able to spot in women as well. But the rate of suicide in this country is a lot higher in men than it is in women, because a lot of men don't talk about how they feel. And actually, suicide is the biggest killer of men under 45, which is quite a scary statistic. And what often happens is our male friends will often try and hide their emotions, because it's kind of what us guys do. You know, we don't like to show our emotions. We think perhaps it shows weakness, and we don't talk about how we feel. So it's key that if you've got a male friend or a family member, and they've had a change in their behaviour, perhaps it might be something that you need to talk to them about rather than wait for them to talk to you. Because men, as I've said, don't like to talk about their emotions, and they will often try to hide it. And it's reckoned that around 1 in 6 men will experience depression at some stage in their life. And men are more likely to recognise and describe the physical symptoms of depression rather than the emotional or the mental symptoms. So they might describe themselves as feeling tired or losing interest in certain activities, much more so than women. They might feel irritable, they might feel angry. Rather than saying that they feel low or they feel down, they would kind of describe the physical symptoms rather than the emotional or mental symptoms. And as I said, men hate talking about their feelings because it can make them feel exposed. And it's really, really important that if someone that you know is feeling depressed and feeling low, that you do try to get them to open up and to offload onto you and to talk about how they are feeling. Because depression isn't just about feeling sad or frustrated. It's this feeling of being out of control, perhaps powerless to handle our emotions, or maybe we're under pressure and we can't see a way out. And it can affect anyone at any age. It's not particularly limited to certain age groups or men or women in particular. But as I say, men are generally worse at handling their emotions and the way they feel because they don't like to talk about how they feel. And most people will feel down from time to time. But if someone's been feeling down for more than a couple of weeks, perhaps they're sad, perhaps they're moody, maybe they're angry, maybe they can't sleep properly, or they're having trouble concentrating, they might have lost interest in work, maybe in sport activities, they might have lost interest in sex, they might not want to go out anymore, they might be a little bit more reclusive, then those are symptoms that perhaps things aren't quite right. And men can get depressed because of problems with their physical health as well. It can also be alcohol or drug abuse. It can be loneliness. It can be work issues. Perhaps they've lost their job or there's been a change in their situation at work. Or maybe younger males could be bullied at school. Or it might be this change in life situation. Maybe they're going through a divorce, a breakup. Perhaps they've had a significant change. Maybe the birth of a baby can also cause men as well as women, but we are going to focus on men today. Even the birth of a baby can push a man into feelings of depression. But frequently, depression has no obvious cause. So there's not always a correlation between a change in circumstance and men feeling depressed. It can just come on of its own accord. So if you've got a male friend, and as I said, maybe they're not feeling themselves recently, ask yourself, do they seem moody? As I said, men often disguise bigger, more personal problems by complaining about life's little nuances. So perhaps they're moaning about last night's TV, or they're moaning about a football team, or they're moaning about the weather, or they're just generally moaning when they're not natural moaners. Now, that could be a sign that something deeper is going on with that person. Perhaps they've changed their routine. One of the key signs of depression is a loss of interest in activities that they normally enjoy. As I mentioned, that might be walking, it might be going out in the garden, getting together with mates. All these activities where they would normally find enjoyment in, suddenly they're withdrawn from their friends and they're spending more time alone. That could be a symptom or a sign of depression. And maybe they're acting strangely. Perhaps they're snapping at people more. Maybe they're feeling more emotional. Look at how they talk to people, how they interact. If they're feeling more shy or more confident, maybe they're drinking a bit more alcohol than they normally do. That can be a sign that something is not quite right, and maybe it's time to have a conversation with them. Other symptoms of depression can also be changes in appetite. Maybe they're starting to gain weight. Maybe they're starting to lose weight for no reason. Maybe they're sleeping excessively well into the daytime, or maybe they're not sleeping enough. That can be a problem as well. And if they're having lots of negative thoughts, like I say, if they're feeling very negative, if they're talking very negative where they don't normally, then perhaps that could be a sign that you need to have a chat with that individual. So what can you do to help that person? Well, first of all, it's really important to understand that they have an illness, okay, and they can't just snap out of it. I think as time has progressed, particularly over the last 5 or 10 years, we're starting to break down the stigma of mental health issues and also of depression. And we're starting to realise that it can't be solved by just flicking a switch. They can't just snap out of it. And actually, if someone is feeling depressed and you tell them to snap out of it, it can belittle and can undermine the way that they feel and can make it actually worse. If they haven't been to a doctor or other healthcare professional, you might encourage them to do so. And you might need to help them. If it's really bad, you might need to help them to make that appointment and actually go with them to the doctor to give them some support. The person might not want to seek help at that point. And if that is the case, it might help to explain why you're concerned about them And again, provide that support, because people with mental health issues and mental illness may face the stigma of admitting that they've got the depression. They might feel that people will think differently about them. You know, we have society that, you know, has generally looked down on people with mental health issues, and we're breaking through that stigma, as I mentioned. But they may have their own personal views on mental health issues, and they might just not want to admit that they've got a problem. So when you talk to them, try to listen to them without judgment, because they really may need your help and your support. You can also get them talking. The biggest hurdle to deal with depression is getting them to talk about it in the first place. But reassure them that you really want to help them, but do so, when you talk to them, do it in a very non-confrontational way. Don't wade in. Don't ask them directly what the problem is, whether it's money or work or a relationship. If you start off by asking what their problem is, you'll put them on the defence, and that's not a great way to start the conversation. Perhaps try a stealth mode instead. Ask them whether they're okay. Say that you've been worried about them recently, you know, perhaps some behavioural changes. Or maybe just go for a coffee in it and just have a social chat about the way they feel. And if you do that, go somewhere quiet. Go somewhere where perhaps his other friends aren't going to see or hear him, or whether somewhere he's not going to bump into someone that he knows. Ask questions rather than offering answers. Psychiatrists will often ask open-ended questions and get the person to do the talking. Ask about what's bothering him and why or how it started. Ask him how the problem makes him feel, and determine whether or not he's spoken to anyone else about it. So the real key is to remember that you're not there to offer advice. You're there to listen to them. And the more questions you ask in the right way, again, being very, very non-confrontational and very non-judgmental, the more you'll generally get out of that individual, and you'll avoid that confrontation, and you'll avoid him becoming very defensive. And also keep it serious. It's tempting to make light of the situation, perhaps turn it into a bit of a joke to try and make them laugh. But actually, this is not a good time to have a laugh and a joke with an individual, because they may think that you're not taking their problem seriously. And above all else, make sure you're okay. If you're going to talk to someone about the way they feel and about depression, make sure you're in a good place yourself, because actually sharing someone else's issues and their problems can be quite a load to take on. And you've got to make sure that you're in the best place mentally to be able to take on board whatever you end up talking about. And like I say, being in this headspace is really important, okay? Be prepared to not have all the answers to their questions. Be prepared to not give advice, but just to be there to listen to the individual and make sure you pick the right time to do so. If you get to a point where you do talk about getting professional help, then obviously the first step is to talk to their doctor. The doctor might look at different therapies. They may look at medication. They may put together a mental health care plan. Depends how serious the issue is. And like I say, you may want to go with them. And any therapy, whether it's professional therapy or just going out and eating perhaps a better diet, drinking less alcohol, doing more regular exercise, it may be something that you may want to do with them to support them as well. And if you need help, or you know someone that needs help and they want to take that first step, talking to a doctor is a good first step. You can also chat to Mind. Mind is the mental health charity in the UK, and their website is www.mind.org.uk. If that individual is slightly older, you can contact Age UK or Silverline. They're good organisations to talk to. And of course, if they are feeling anxious or depressed and down and they just want someone to talk to confidentially, then you can direct them towards the Samaritans. And the Samaritans are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. And the Samaritans' phone number is 116 123. So hopefully it's helped. More so for helping to spot the signs. As I say, men are particularly bad in talking about how they feel. And perhaps you've got male friends that you can just identify some of those areas, some of those symptoms where perhaps it might be a conversation starter where you can offer that individual some support and some help. So after the break, we are going to have a chat with Dawn and find out about more about RTT. But to take us there, we have a quick song, and it's Vogue by Madonna.
Thank you.
You're listening to the Health Matters Radio Show with me, Neil De Silva. A quick reminder of the show's social media feeds. On Twitter, it's at Health Radio Show. So go onto Twitter, type in at Health Radio Show, and you can follow the show's Twitter feed. On Facebook, if you search the Health Matters Radio Show, you can follow the show's Facebook page. And you'll be able to listen again to this show and all previous Health Matters Radio Show episodes on the media page of my website, which is www.i-nutrition.co.uk, or on iTunes. I have a podcast where all the other previous shows are there too. So go to iTunes, type in the Health Matters Radio Show, and you'll be able to subscribe to the show's podcast. So on to our guest interview of the morning. We have Dawn Quest on this morning to chat with us about rapid transformation therapy, RTT, what it is, what it does, and how it can be of help to you. So good morning, Dawn. It's great to have you on the show this morning.
Good morning, Neil. How are you?
I'm very, very well. How are you doing?
I'm good, thank you.
As I mentioned before the show, we were having a quick chat, and I was aware of RTT, but probably like many people, we don't really understand fully what it is, what it does, and how it can be of benefit. So when you asked to come on the show as a guest, I thought, yes, this will be really good because it will help expand my knowledge about RTT as well and how it ties in with coaching. But before we get on to talking about RTT, let's have a chat about you and your background. So perhaps you can give us just a bit of background as to your journey up to doing what you're doing now, perhaps some of the previous jobs that you've done, your experience, and then we'll go on to talk more about what you're doing now.
Sure. Okay. Well, I'm a former journalist and TV producer. Used to work in print journalism in Hong Kong. And then I moved over to CNN, where I produced the Asian business news, before moving to the BBC in London, where I used to do overnight shifts producing the breakfast news, which I did for 7 years.
Okay.
And during that time, I went through quite a difficult period of my life. My marriage broke up. Mm-hmm. And it was at that time that I turned to self-help books, you know, the stuff you find on the bookshelves. And I looked at a lot of coaching books, self-coaching books. And as I kind of worked through those books, I thought, well, you know what, there's something about this that I really like. And I was always one of those people that my friends would turn to me for advice with their issues. Mm-hmm. And it started to make sense to me that this was a journey, a kind of an avenue I might want to explore. So I left the BBC back in 2009, and that's when I trained to be a coach. And I've been a coach for 10 years. And then about a year ago or 2 years ago, I discovered Marissa Peer, who's the founder of Rapid Transformational Therapy. And there was something about it again that I thought, this is very, very interesting. And with coaching, it's very much about working with the conscious mind. And I'd found with my clients that I could go so far, but not all the way. And with Rapid Transformational Therapy, it's that missing part. We work with the subconscious mind. And so you get to unlock the parts of the mind that bring about the real change. So coaching and RTT together really it's a really effective method of therapy. And so I've been doing that for the last year and just really enjoying it. It's been an incredible, incredible experience.
And it is quite an unusual technique, in as much as normally it's one or the other. You know, it's the conscious or the subconscious, but actually bringing the two together, even with my limited knowledge of what it is, strikes me as being incredibly powerful.
Yeah, it's such a powerful therapy. It's hard to explain because it's quite gentle, but at the same time, it's incredibly powerful. And how it works is really it's getting to the root of all of the subconscious negative thoughts and beliefs we have about ourselves. Sometimes, you know, they're subconscious. We don't even know we have these beliefs about ourselves. Mm. And RTT kind of extracts them, eliminates them, and then replaces them with something better, with more helpful, positive thoughts and beliefs. And the way I like to describe it, somebody described it to me this way, and I thought, this is brilliant. It's like we always look to upgrade our phones. We upgrade our phones to the latest model. And the question is, you know, when was the last time you upgraded your mind? Mm-hmm. And a lot of the time we are working on a very outworn, outdated system in our minds that goes back to childhood, to teenage years. And we are working with all these patterns and thoughts and beliefs about ourselves, which no longer are necessary or even relevant.
So. The presuppositions.
Yeah, exactly. Mm,
absolutely. So perhaps you can explain a little bit more so people are fully au fait with it. What's the difference between the conscious mind and the subconscious mind? How do they operate? How do they control us?
Well, one of the rules of the mind is that, you know, in the battle between emotion and logic, emotion will always win.
Mm-hmm.
And so we could have a really rational, logical thought about something. For example, in your line of work, I really want to lose weight.
Yeah.
And losing weight, you know, basically it's simple. It's a simple equation. Eat less, move more. Mm-hmm. But thousands of people struggle with that simple kind of equation. And that's where the subconscious mind comes into play, because the subconscious mind is the block. It's where all the blocks are to losing weight.
Mm.
You know, so many people struggle with it, and really it's something deep down inside. And, you know, with my clients, there are generally three things that my clients come to see me about. They may come to see me about weight loss or insomnia or allergies, but it all boils down to three things. The first one being, I am unlovable. The second one is, I am different. And the third one is, what I want is not available to me.
Mm.
And those are kind of three patterns in our minds that keep us stuck. And all of that adds up to, I am not enough. I'm not good enough. I am not attractive enough. I'm not smart enough. I can't lose weight because I'm different. There's something about me that means I can't lose weight. I'm just a failure. Those kinds of thoughts and patterns are all locked in our subconscious. So coaching will do the, you need to, you know, exercise more and here's a nutrition plan.
Yep.
Whereas the subconscious is all about, you know, what is it you believe about yourself?
Mm.
What's the belief process that is stopping you from really going for it and really losing weight this time?
Yeah, I guess it's kind of the real deep down control center, isn't it? And
yeah.
As you said, often that a lot of those beliefs and those feelings about us or ourselves stem back to childhood.
Yeah.
And then lots of people don't even realize that it stems back to childhood.
Yeah.
And obviously when you can tap into that and you can really get to the bottom of the reasons why someone feels, you know, different or unlovable, or, you know, those negative connotations they have about themselves, it must be quite a moment when they realise that you've kind of just unlocked a door that they didn't even realise was there.
Yeah, it's such a powerful transformation. And sometimes it happens right there in my therapy room, and sometimes it'll happen a few days afterwards. But, you know, the change I see with my clients is, I feel quite humbled as a therapist to see it, but they've done all the work. I've just given them the techniques to do it.
Yeah.
But I've seen people go from having no self-esteem, no confidence, to just being incredibly confident, starting to do things they've always wanted to do. And it's incredibly powerful just to watch that happen.
And see that transformation.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Perhaps you could tell me a little bit more about Marissa and what she does in terms of rapid transformational therapy, and then perhaps talk a little bit about what RTT is itself and how it combines those elements of hypnotherapy, NLP, CBT as well.
Sure. I mean, Marissa is an incredible lady. She's been a hypnotherapist for 30 years, and, you know, her clients include rock stars, celebrities, royalty. She's fascinating. Mm. And she developed rapid transformational therapy over the course of that 30 years. It's not like she woke up one morning and thought, I know.
Yeah, I'll make something up.
There's a niche.
So it's come from years of experience.
Exactly, yeah. And I was lucky enough to train with her in London, and just listening to her, some of the stories she has about her clients are fascinating.
Mm.
You know, just how she's kind of plumbed the minds of her clients is just riveting. You can sit and listen to Marissa for hours. How rapid transformational therapy works is it combines hypnotherapy but also aspects of neuro-linguistic programming, NLP, and cognitive behavioral therapy, CBT, and elements of psychotherapy. Where it's different is it can sometimes, and I've often seen this happen, it can sometimes have an immediate effect in as little as one session. So sometimes two, sometimes three, but a lot of the times the transformation can happen in one session. And, you know, there was this preconception about our minds being fixed and locked, and understanding the mind takes years. It's so complex. But Marissa's philosophy is actually, no, we haven't got years to make our life better. We want to be happy now.
Mm.
So this RTT is very quick, very simple, and creates transformation very efficiently and very easily. So yeah, that's Marissa, but fascinating lady. If you ever get a chance to meet Anil, I mean, she yeah. has some amazing stories.
Yeah, I look forward to it. Yeah, I will definitely try to do that. So in terms of the sorts of issues that RTT helps with, obviously, as we said, lots of our real deep-seated beliefs stem from our childhood and events that happen throughout our lives. But I mean, for what sorts of reasons do people come and talk to you? What issues do they have that they're trying to change?
Well, it's a wide range, and it can be emotional, psychological, or physical. So I've had clients come to see me about insomnia, allergies. I've had confidence, low self-esteem. I've had clients who are suffering from jealousy, skin conditions. So it's a wide, wide range. And that's what makes my job so interesting. Mm. You know, the clients are so varied. But one of the biggest side effects of having an RTT session, regardless of what your issue is I've noticed with my clients, they always walk away feeling so much more confident. Mm. So confidence and self-esteem, RTT is brilliant for those issues. If you're feeling, if you have nerves, if you have anxiety, if you're low in confidence, RTT is brilliant. And I'm seeing a lot of teenagers at the moment with anxiety, back to school, exam years.
Yeah.
And, you know, our current, the world our teenagers live in,
yeah.
it's a very pressurized time, lots of anxiety and very challenging. So a few, you know, quite a few of my clients at the moment are teenagers struggling with anxiety.
I think it's good to have that reassurance that there are options out there. There is help out there. You know, if you're suffering with maybe anxiety, emotional issues, if you've got issues with smoking or you've got anything, there's other options out there aside from just taking pharmaceutical drugs.
Exactly.
And lots of people, you know, if they've got anxiety, and we've just covered obviously depression in the previous piece, but there is that expectation that almost resignation that I've got to go to a doctor. The doctor's going to give me pills. And suddenly you're on that medication bandwagon that actually there is a potentially better solution out there where you can get into someone's mind and almost like you say, have that upgrade, do the upgrade of the software, almost have a bit of a rewire and deal with the root causes of the problem rather than paper over the cracks and take drugs which deal with the symptoms and don't deal with the problem.
Yeah. And I mean, I would never tell anyone not to take medication. That's not
absolutely,
my role.
Absolutely.
I'm not a medic. I'm not. Yeah. And if one of my clients is on medication, I work closely with them and sometimes with their doctors.
Absolutely.
And that's their decision and that's a conversation with their GP.
Yeah.
But, you know, often my clients are looking for other ways to make themselves feel better.
I think that's where that comes, you know, perhaps being a bit open-minded to say, you know, what are the options and, you know, making the choice that's right for that individual. Yeah. So perhaps you could give me a few examples. Obviously, we can't mention individuals by name unless you have their permission, but perhaps a couple of examples of some real life case studies where you've helped people and RTT's really changed their lives.
Yeah. Well, I think one of the most dramatic cases I had was a client who came to see me. He'd had a horse allergy since the age of 7 and he loved horses. So he was constantly at the stables but used to go armed with, you know, boxes of tissues just to deal with the sneezing, watering eyes, you know, all coughing. And he came to see me and said, you know, I'd really like help with this. And we had a chat, a discussion. So I said, what would you like the outcome to be? He said, well, when I go to the stables, instead of using 30 tissues, I just use one.
Yeah.
And I said to him, you know, as kind of as a joke, are you sure? Because we can make it so you don't even need one. So he said, no, I just want to use one. And so I took him into regression. So through hypnotherapy, I regressed him to scenes from his childhood where this allergy started.
Okay.
And our minds are, you know, play a big part in our physical symptoms. Mm-hmm. And what we discovered and what he discovered was that he'd wanted riding lessons for a long time. But on the day that his mum had actually given in and taken him, she was very stressed. She was very irritable. She kept saying, oh, I've got to get back to make Sunday lunch. They got lost. She got more angry. She got angrier and angrier. And as a child, as a 7-year-old child, he just felt guilty. This is all my fault. Mm. I'm not allowed to enjoy myself. Something I really want is causing all this disruption. So we worked through, that was one of the scenes. We worked through some other scenes. And I did, you know, we removed the belief. The belief was all about you are entitled to be happy. You love riding. You love going to the stables. Your body's in control. So gave him his transformation recording. And with my clients, they listened to their personalized recording for 21 days. Mm-hmm. But I called him a couple of days later because I always check in with my clients a couple of days after the session. And my heart was a little bit in my throat because, you know, I'm never really sure. But yeah, when I called him, I said, so how did you get on? And he said, you know what? I took one session, one tissue to the stables, and I barely even used that. And so, you know, he'd kind of got an idea that his mind was involved because he said, even before I go to the stables, my nose starts running. So he knew his mind was playing a big part in it. There were no horses around, just the thought of going.
Wow.
His mind had been conditioned to create an allergic kind of a physical response to horses.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that was probably the most dramatic. Quite,
yeah, absolutely, yeah. Absolutely. And any other examples?
I had a lady, a lovely, lovely lady who came to see me. Bless her, she hadn't slept, had a full night's sleep for 21 years and just desperate, you know, lack of sleep is just, you know, awful, trying to get through the day. Mm. So we went back, I regressed her to scenes from her childhood and lots of guilt, lots of punishing herself. And where the root was, she had done something in her childhood that she, you know, had caused a lot of anger in her family. And she kept replaying it over and over when she went to sleep. Replaying it over, what could I have done differently? What could I have done better? And she'd carried that pattern all through to childhood, to adulthood. So at nighttime, she would rehash the day.
Mm-hmm.
What could I have done better? I'm not good enough. You know, I'm not perfect. I could have done this better. I could have done that better.
Mm.
It kept her awake. So the basic message was getting her in touch with, look, you're a great mom. You're a lovely friend. You're a wonderful wife. You know, you are good enough. And those messages. And a week later, she reported she was sleeping through the night 4 to 5 times a week. But with her, she said the biggest transformation is I have so much confidence and it's all down to RTT. So, yeah, that was a lovely, lovely case, a lovely client. Yeah, I'm still in touch with her and has a brilliant business and doing really, really well. So.
And from just a general health point of view, that lack of sleep has a massive impact on every other aspect of a person's life. But
absolutely.
It just goes to show the power of, you know, tapping into the subconscious mind. Mm. And what about your first client, the first person that ever came to you? What was all that about?
Well, my first client, obviously, as a newly graduated therapist, I was quite nervous, but lovely, again, a gorgeous lady. And she started to cry even before she sat down in the chair. She was carrying so much emotional pain, you know, and that happens a lot with my clients. They, by the time they sit down in the chair, they're like, they just cry because it's the relief of being there. And she had always struggled with relationships, toxic relationships. She had had narcissistic partners and hadn't been able to create strong boundaries and had always kind of suffered in relationships. And, you know, we explored it and it all went back to her mom. Her mom never showed her love. The only time her mom showed her any love was by giving her chocolate. So she used to eat lots of chocolate
because
that was love for her. That represented love. And it was all about, again, just creating those boundaries. You're good enough. You know, you deserve better. And bless her. She lovely, lovely lady. And since then, she's going great guns. And I'm still in touch with her. And she said, I'm in a great relationship. The first proper, normal, healthy relationship I've ever had.
Mm.
I have strong boundaries, even not in romantic relationships, but in work relationships, in her life. So, yeah, again,
powerful.
Lovely, lovely to see, yeah.
Really, really powerful. So what are your plans for this year, Dawn? Obviously, we're coming towards the end of 2019 now, but into 2020, where do you see 2020 taking you?
Well, next year I'm hoping to create a series of workshops around confidence, finding your true purpose, building self-esteem, managing stress, those kinds of things, with a view to maybe doing more group sessions, group hypnotherapy. And eventually the plan is to create some online material, that an online course that my clients can have access to 24 hours a day, which would be great.
Yeah. Excellent. Exciting time. So we're going to wrap up the interview in a moment, but just to summarise, just remind us who you're looking for with your ideal client as such, and why you think people should come to you rather than looking at other therapies.
Well, I guess my ideal client is anyone who has reached that point in their life where they are no longer content to put up with their old you.
Mm-hmm.
They just want to change. They're ready to change. but they don't know how to. And it's being ready to change that makes the difference. I can't work with people who are not in that position.
Yeah, definitely.
So anything from, you know, physical to emotional to psychological symptoms, RTT is very, very effective for. So the first step is to book a consultation call with me. I always offer a free chat for my clients to get to know me and for me to get to know them and see if we're a good fit.
Yeah.
And then from there, we all book the session and take it from there.
So if they're if they've got particular issues, if they're curious about it, even if they're not even sure if you can help, but have that first consultation, have that chat.
Yeah.
And then obviously you can go from there and you know, see where that takes you. Okay, so what's your contact details? How do you prefer people to get in touch with you?
Well, they can go to my website, dawnquest.co.uk, and there's a booking system on there. They can book an appointment straight off the website, or email me, dawn@dawnquest.co.uk. Those are the two easiest ways of getting hold of me.
And you're based in Tunbridge Wells, but you can work worldwide?
That's right. Yeah, I have clients in South America and Australia, and I do it all by Zoom video link, which is surprisingly effective.
Excellent. So it doesn't matter where someone is. If they need to talk to you, they need your help, you can obviously do it via the power of technology.
That's right. Yeah, please get in touch.
Fantastic. Yeah. What I'll also do for you, Dawn, is when I do the post promotion for today's show, I'll put those links in the Facebook and LinkedIn posts.
Yeah.
So obviously people can click through from there as well.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you very much for coming on the show. It's been great to find out more about RTT and how it can help people. And like I say, if you can recognise some of the things we've spoken about this morning, look out for the show's promotion, the post-promotion, and click on the link and have a chat with Dawn. But thank you for coming on the show today, Dawn.
Thank
it's been great.
It's been a real pleasure. Thank you.
After the break, we are going to have a quick chat about gastroenteritis. You Bon Jovi and In These Arms. You're listening to the Health Matters Radio Show with me, Neil De Silva. A quick reminder of the show's social media feeds. On Twitter, it's at Health Radio Show. On Facebook, search the Health Matters Radio Show. And you can listen again to this show and all previous 72 shows on iTunes. Go to iTunes, type in the Health Matters Radio Show and subscribe to the podcast. Or you can go to the media page of my website, which is www.i-nutrition.co.uk. And as always, if you'd like to contact me away from social media, please do so through my website. Go to the contact page and pop me an email. So we're going to wrap the show up in about 6 or 7 minutes. But before we do so, I just want to talk about gastroenteritis. Now, gastroenteritis is a big problem, particularly for those people that work in the food industry, but it can affect people of any age. It doesn't matter what job you do, but obviously if you're in the food industry, gastroenteritis can be a big problem, particularly because it's so easy to spread. Now, gastroenteritis, or gastro as it's commonly known, causes vomiting and it causes diarrhea. So it is an illness of your gut, of your stomach and of your digestive system. Now, in most cases, gastro isn't particularly serious. It can make you dehydrated, which is obviously a concern. So you need to keep your fluids up if you're suffering with gastro. But most mild forms of gastroenteritis can be dealt with at home by just drinking more fluids. It kind of comes and it goes of its own accord. Obviously, if you're concerned about it, then do speak to your pharmacist or speak to your doctor. But generally speaking, gastro, in most cases, is not a serious or life-threatening condition. It's just not particularly pleasant. And gastro can be caused by a number of different things, including things like bacteria. So salmonella can often cause gastroenteritis. Viruses, so the norovirus is a prime suspect when it comes to gastro. You can also pick up a parasite. It can also be caused by chemicals and toxins. So toxins in things like poisonous mushrooms will trigger off gastroenteritis. So there's lots of ways you can catch it, but the thing is it's quite easily spread as well. So hygiene really is important. The good thing is gastro generally only lasts for a couple of days. It doesn't normally, as I mentioned, need medication, but it does need plenty of fluids, particularly for older people or young children or those with a weakened immune system. They need to be really careful if they do pick up gastro, because obviously in those situations, it can become a much more serious illness. And if you've got a child and they can't keep down even sips of liquid, or they're starting to become dehydrated, so they've got a dry mouth, maybe they've not passed urine for 6 hours or more, or they're very lethargic, then you should see a doctor immediately without a doubt. And babies under 6 months, if you suspect they've got gastroenteritis, you should see a doctor immediately without fail. So some of the symptoms that you'll get with gastroenteritis include things like vomiting, diarrhea, nausea. So nausea, not a sickness in the head, so not a dizzy nausea, but a sickness in the stomach sensation. If you've got stomach pains, perhaps you've got a fever or headaches, or maybe you've lost completely your appetite, those can be symptoms of gastroenteritis. And if you do talk to your doctor, generally they'll do a general examination and they may recommend medication. In more serious cases, you might be asked to do a stool test if they suspect it's a serious issue or there's something else causing the problem. But the key with gastroenteritis is to keep your fluids up, because it will cause dehydration. And if you're struggling to drink large amounts of fluids, then frequent sips are often the way to go, just to keep your fluid levels up, particularly with young children as well. And even if you're vomiting, if you're being sick on a regular basis, it's still really important to keep your water intake up. And if you do have a baby or a young child that's picked up gastroenteritis, they do need to be monitored for dehydration. You can get rehydration fluids from your pharmacy, from your chemist. And sometimes these are the best fluids to use especially for young children, because obviously it's got electrolytes and other good things in it that helps with rehydration. But if you can't get hold of those, or your child refuses to drink it, and some of them do have a bit of an acquired taste, then giving them diluted fruit juice, so one part juice to four parts water, is acceptable. If that's a problem, you could give them a cube of ice or an ice block just to suck on, just to get that fluid into their body. But one of the things you should avoid is things like milk, dairy products, and obviously avoid things completely like sodas and sports drinks and other soft drinks, because the sugar in them can make the diarrhea worse. If you've got a baby, they can continue milk feeds throughout the illness with rehydration fluid between feeds. But if you're very sick, you know, you do need to get medical help. So don't hesitate to talk to your doctor, and you may need to go to the hospital to be put on a drip to be rehydrated. But as I mentioned, hygiene is important. Gastroenteritis is really easily spread. It's very infectious. And you can get that from coming into contact with a person's with an infected person who maybe hasn't washed their hands after they've been to the toilet. Maybe there's traces of vomit on their hands. I'm sorry, it's not very nice, but it is what it is. Also, if you've got contaminated food or contaminated water, gastroenteritis can be spread through those means as well. So to reduce the risk of gastroenteritis, if you've got it, make sure you keep your hands clean. So washing your hands after going to the bathroom. If you've got a baby who's got the illness, then obviously washing your hands after changing nappies, and certainly before preparing or eating food. And if you've got gastroenteritis, the general advice is to stay at home, to stay away from work or stay away from school if you've got children, until the symptoms have gone for at least 24 hours, because it is very infectious. And if you are handling food, it's even more so, it's even more important that you stay away from work, or you're dealing with the elderly, perhaps you're a carer, and that you don't return to work for around 48 hours after the symptoms go. So there you go, gastroenteritis, rapid transformational therapy, and how to spot the signs of depression. A really good show today, a full-on show, lots of useful information. I'd like to thank Dawn once more for coming on the show.
Thank you.
It's been great to have you on, Dawn, and as I say, I'll do the post-promotion after the show, and I'll put all your media links on there and the links to your website.
Great, lovely.
So all that remains for me to do is to remind you to go onto social media, subscribe to the Twitter and Facebook pages, do subscribe to the show's podcast as well. And if you'd like to come on the show, as Dawn has done today, and talk about what you do and how you can help people, then please make contact with me via my website, and we'll see about getting you on as a guest on a future show. After the last song, we have the Channel Radio News and Weather. But until the same time next week, stay happy, stay healthy, have a great week ahead, and I will catch you next Monday.
The heart is a blue. Space to rent in this town, you're out of luck. And the reason that you had to care, the traffic is stuck. Someone you can lend a hand in return.